Welcome to STEM Spots, a weekly science review produced in cooperation with the Missouri State University Department of Physics, Astronomy, and Materials Science.
Hi, this is Dave Cornelison, and you're listening to STEM Spots. With me in the studio today is Dr. Jim Baker. He's the Vice President for Research, Economic Development, and International Programs here at Missouri State University. Thanks for stopping by, Jim.
Thank you for having me.
Jim, you have a lot of different hats that you wear, but one of them has to do with research and scholarship at the university. So talk about what you consider Missouri State's strengths in research and scholarship over the time you've been here.
Well, I think the major strength that we have is that we have some faculty that are really very talented. And one of the things we've been able to do over time is attract really good faculty and try to support them as much as we can. We're in an environment where it's a bit of a challenge because of the teaching loads of our faculty and so on. But we have folks here that are very good, that are very committed to doing research. The College of Natural Applied Sciences has really a good track record of getting grants and contracts and publications. So we have a lot of scholarly activity. So it's been a very positive environment for us.
And there must be always challenges. And so what are the key challenges at a place like Missouri State?
Well, the key challenges for Missouri State is the expectation is, number one, is that it's primarily a teaching undergraduate institution, although that's changing over time. And so there's the challenges, like if for a faculty member in, say, in physics or whatever, when you're competing for grants and contracts, you're competing with doctoral institutions. And since we don't have PhD programs, per se, we have professional doctorates, but
that's
those
true.
Are a little bit different. They're not research-oriented. They're more clinical-based. But you're at a little bit of a disadvantage because a lot of times you're competing with a professor that maybe at MIT or some other place that's teaching some graduate students and has some postdocs and some doctoral students. Whereas here, we got a lot of undergraduate education going on, a lot of master's degree students and so on. So it's a little bit of a competitive disadvantage in the fact that you don't have the same guns to come to when you put in the proposals.
Right. Now, are there things that we can do to help that? I know that a lot of times faculty feel like they direct their own research and they decide what to do. But what kinds of things can the university administration do to just create an environment where they can get done what they need to get done?
Well, I think we can create there's some centers and there's some different focal points. And we try to I know that the deans, like in your college, for example, try to develop facilities that can be shared amongst the researchers. And so we have to make really smart investments on all the equipment that we buy so that it has multiple purposes. So a lot of times for the research office, the Office of Research Administration under my division, we invest some monies, take indirect monies that's been generated, we invest in equipment. But generally, we try to develop more shared equipment. And so I think the encouragement of the dean and other folks to say, hey, research is an important part of what you do, and our faculty really respond to that very well. So there are things that we can do, but we have to make really smart investments, primarily for facilities and for equipment, because most of the research, as you well know, is instrumentation-based and dependent.
That's true. That's true. Now, you also have a job of doing economic development. Talk a little bit about economic development as it connects to STEM, things that you've been involved with or things that you can see on the horizon.
Well, the STEM part is absolutely crucial to economic development in the future, because what's happening is that the jobs of the future are really dependent on STEM-educated folks. There's a lot of service jobs, there's a lot of business jobs, but there's a tremendous number of jobs now that really require abilities to understand biology, to understand chemistry, to understand these different disciplines, obviously computer science. And so a lot of the new jobs that are being created here in Springfield or elsewhere are really STEM-dependent type jobs.
Right. And what kinds of things are you doing? You have a bunch of different people under you, and at least some of that has to do with economic development for perhaps other countries and things like that.
Yeah, we've developed some training centers. We have a management development institute that works really with local businesses. We have an international leadership and training center that works with international partners. We have a lot of partners in South America and China, and so we do a lot of training there. And so we're pretty much involved in that type of activity. Part of what we have to do is we have to take the efforts, the research, the training, the workforce development, all the things that happen on the university campus, and get those translated into economic development, which means jobs.
Right.
And how do we keep our students here? How do we retain them? And how do we get them integrated into the workforce?
It's a very difficult job. Well, Jim, I'm sorry, but we've run out of time. Thanks so much for stopping by.
Thank you.
And this is Dave Cornelison for STEM Spots, signing off.
STEM Spots is available online at ksmu.org.